gonna go on the record, just a moment, please.
Okay.
And he wants that on top. I'm sorry.
We're gonna go on the record.
Oh.
All right.
Good morning. It is Thursday, February 2nd, 2012. It's 9 o'clock. We have one case set. And the matter is City of Portland versus, we have both Thomas Kerr, Penny Kerr, and Sean Shore listed as respondents. The case number is 2120001. My name's Kimberly Graves. I'm a hearings officer for the City of Portland. I'll be handling the case for today. You were having an opportunity to speak before I came in. I don't want to cut that off if it is a conversation that might lead to a resolution. Okay.
Not at the moment, I don't think so.
Okay, given the amount of communication that has already taken place in the case, I kind of assumed that we would be having the hearing today, but I didn't want to cut you off if there was further conversation that you needed to have.
No, appreciate it, but we'd like to go forward.
Okay.
For the city.
Okay. So I have a couple of opening comments before I get to the actual facts and the testimony in the case. Let me look at my list here so I'm sure I cover everything that needs to be covered. So the purpose of today's hearing is obviously to determine what future steps are going to be taken with the property in question located in Scappoose. The testimony today will be taken from both the city representative as well as any testimony. Are you Mr. Shore?
Yes,
is that
sir.
Correct? Okay. As well as any testimony you have to put forth or any testimony from the Kerrs. Are the Kerrs present?
No, they won't be able to make it.
Okay. So I'll take any testimony today. I'll take all that information into consideration and then looking at the code, determine whether there's been code violations that have occurred, whether those code violations are going to be remedied at some point within the time frame set out, and if not, what steps will be taken with regard to the property. I will not have an order or decision today, but I hope to get that out within the next month, and that'll set out the time frames for what needs to take place with the property. The standard in this case is called a preponderance of the evidence. It's a 51%, 49% standard. The burden lies with the city to demonstrate that the violations have occurred and ask for the appropriate remedies and have those remedies ordered. The hearings that we're having is being recorded. A copy of the recording along with my written decision will be placed on the hearings website when the decision's available. The recording will be there likely before the actual written decision. The information's there for anyone to read or to listen to the recording if they so choose to. Make sure that I'm covering everything. This type of case is not one that we have quite as frequently, and actually the hearings officer that was going to handle it is out ill, so I'm checking my list to make sure that I've covered all of the things that he would typically cover in his opening comments. As far as the order of the hearing, it's an informal hearing, so we'll take questions as they come up if necessary. Since the burden is with the city, I'll allow the city to go first in presenting their case. We do have an exhibit list in the case, which you should have a copy of. I believe there are 29 exhibits on the list. None of those are entered into the record until someone has offered them. So if there's anything that you would like me to take into consideration from either side, you'll need to offer those documents in order for them to actually be officially into the record and something that I would consider in making my decision. At the end of the hearing, there is an opportunity to keep the record open for a longer period of time if there is some documentation that needs to be submitted. Otherwise, at the end of the hearing, we'll close the record and everything that would be submitted at the hearing will be considered as part of the decision. The record would not routinely be held open unless there was good cause to do so beyond today's hearing. Everything should be presented at this time. My decision today is appealable. If it's not in your favor, it's appealable to the Multnomah County Circuit Court. Their procedure is more formal than what we have here, and something that you would certainly like to talk to an attorney about, helping you just simply with the process, but also possibly representing you in that setting as well. So I think that covers all of the procedural issues with the case. I'd like to start by having everyone introduce themselves for the recording. That way, when you're speaking during the hearing, we know who's speaking. I'll start with the city representative. Could I have you introduce yourself with the first name, last name, and then the city mailing address that we should be using for you?
My name is Lisa Dibert. I'm with the Bureau of Development Services, and the city mailing address is 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Suite 5000, Portland, Oregon, 97201.
Okay, and Mr. Shore, could I have you introduce yourself as well?
My name is Sean Shore, S-H-O-R-E.
And the mailing address we should be using for you, sir?
2206 Southeast Washington Street, Milwaukee, Oregon, 97222.
Okay, and the other person at the table here?
My name is Erin Mick. I'm with the Bureau of Development Services. Mailing address is 1900 Southwest 4th, Suite 5000, Portland, Oregon, 201. Thank you.
So, did you say it's Dibert?
Dibert, D-I-B-E-R-T.
Okay. So, Ms. Dibert, will you be handling the case then?
Yes.
For the city?
And Erin will be my witness today.
Okay. Do you intend to offer any testimony?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, before I have you offer any testimony, I'll give you the opportunity for an opening statement as well. Do you have any opening comments that you wanted to offer?
No, I don't have any opening comments.
Okay.
Let's dive into it.
Okay. So let me first swear you in before you offer any testimony. Could I have you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And do you wish to go first, or do you wish to have Ms. Mick testify
first? I'll go first and go through the exhibits, and then I'll ask her some questions to help clarify things.
Okay.
Okay. So, today we're here regarding the property at 26901 Northwest St. Helens Road, and I'm going to go through the exhibits. The packet, the majority of the packet was first mailed, and then there was some additional exhibits that were just recently mailed that had some additional exhibits. So I'm going to go through them just to outline what's in the packets.
Thank you.
So the first exhibit number one, is a complaint that the city filed regarding the property at 26901 Northwest St. Helens Road. It is in the city of Scappoose, but within the Multnomah County, Oregon. And what we have cited is that the existing on-site sewage disposal system. It's an occupied multifamily residential site. There are, I believe, 7 units, possibly 8.
No, there's 8.
There's
8
units.
Eight units.
Thank you. The septic system has failed. We've noticed untreated sewage on the ground, which is a public health hazard and a violation of various OARs and the Oregon Plumbing Health Plumbing Specialty Code, excuse me, I'm nervous. And then also, there's been an issued permit for a new sanitary system, but that permit, which was issued on October 24th, has not had any of the work done, and so that also is a violation of the OARs and the Oregon Plumbing Specialty Code. And then later on, I'll go over the relief that we requested is outlined in item number 3. So then exhibit number 1A is part of the complaint that we submitted. And what it does is it indicates the boarding that we would require if the structure was the structures were vacated and boarded, the standards for that security board up, which we mentioned in the complaint. We included that as an exhibit, an additional exhibit.
And is that provided as instruction to Mr. Shore, should he wish to
should
board up
he
the property?
Wish to board up, should he need to board up the property, or should the city itself board up the property? We would require a security board up to make sure that the property was secure and that it was also able to keep people from breaking in, essentially. Because a security board up is more, quote unquote, secure because it's got different standards, different plywood requirements and different screwing requirements, as opposed to just nailing it up there and calling it good.
Okay.
Exhibit number 2 is the mailing list that we submitted with that complaint for the hearings office to mail out the hearing notification and packet. It lists the owners, Sean Shore, who's the contract purchaser, and Thomas and Penny Kerr, who are the contract owners. And then we also included Michael Grimmett, who's the Multnomah County Co-Compliance Officer, and then myself and Erin Mick, who is the on-site sanitation inspector for the Bureau of Development Services. Exhibit number 3 is a copy of the Multnomah County Property Tax Assessor's printout. It shows the ownership of the property, where the property is located, and it also just includes tax history and that type of thing, which isn't necessarily relevant to this property, or to this. And then on page 3 of that, it does include what is at the site. For the county, some single-family residences and some duplexes that are at the site. Exhibit number 4 is from a program that we call GARTH, which is the GIS system that just shows where the outline of the property, the And just a little bit more information. This is a little bit more relevant whenever we've got city zoning, because it would have the city zoning on there, but it at least shows you the size of the property. And then exhibit number 5 is a Bing aerial photo that shows you the buildings that are on the site in a more picturesque type photo, I guess we would call it. Exhibit number 6 is, as this property is within unincorporated Multnomah County and not within the city, I felt it pertinent that I should include the ordinance number 1581111, which is an IGA between the county and the city, which transfers programs and equipment from the county to the city, and which authorizes environmental services for subsurface sewage disposal systems that the city is now going to be doing for the county. So I just wanted to show as to why the city is doing this type of work as opposed to the county is doing this type of work. And in section 2, number C6 of this document, it states that the city will administer the installation and other matters of subsurface sewage disposal systems, including the incorporated hours within the county, which also means Gresham, Troutdale, and other Multnomah County municipalities. And then there's an exhibit D, which indicates that as well. And then exhibit 6D of the hearings officer exhibit, so hearings officer labeled it 6D, that's actually the exhibit D that is referenced in that IGA. And that that exhibit is an agreement between Multnomah County and the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, so the Oregon DEQ, that the state gave the authority to the county, and the county gave the authority to the city. So that's kind of the trail that we go through with this ordinance. And then, let's see. So then, exhibit number 7 is a memorandum of agreement between the state DEQ and the city regarding the sewage disposal systems and inspections and enforcement. And that references the city and the county agreement. So not only do we have the county and the state agreement, then we have the city and the county and the city, and now we have a city and the state agreement that says that the city is going to be doing the enforcement for that. And then number 13 of that memorandum, it talks about the city enforcements for systems that are not maintained properly. And then exhibit number 8, hearings officer exhibit 8 and 8A, is another ordinance, 162123, which is an amendment of the previous IGA with the county and the city, and this allows the city to take subsurface sewage disposal system enforcement issues to the city's code hearings officer. So that's where I think we all tie it all back together, and that's why we're here today.
And I'll indicate that because this was outside of the city limits, I did take the opportunity to read through the exhibits that you've just gone over, the ordinances and the agreements between the state and the county and the city and the hearings office,
yeah,
to figure out exactly how this case landed in our office as well. So I did take the opportunity to read those, and I'm in agreement that the case is correctly in this office.
I'm glad I included that then.
I appreciate that you did.
Okay, and then exhibits 9 and 9A are printouts of the applicable OARs, the Oregon Administrative Rules, and the Oregon Plumbing Sections that we listed in the code hearing complaint. That way you don't have to look them up, which you still could if you wanted to, but we put them in there for convenience sake. And then the next, so that's all the, in essence, the legal portion of it as to why we're here. And then we start with exhibit number 10, which is a copy of a letter that was sent to the owners, Thomas Kerr and Sean Shore, about a notice of a potential violation. It was sent November 4th of 2010, and Ms. Erin Mick of Bureau of Development Services sent the letter. She had received a complaint regarding unsafe wastewater disposal and living conditions at the site. And so she was requesting that she be contacted so then that way she could get an inspection to look and see what's going on and to see if it is a valid or is not a valid complaint and what needs to be done to correct it. Exhibit number 11 are photos that were taken whenever she visited the site February 11th. She had not received any contact back, and so based on her workload, she was able to essentially get out there February 11th to go to the site just to see what's going on. And due to that inspection, the photos show that there's a pile of pool of sewage, I guess we would call it a pool of sewage, on the ground at the site. And so based on her inspection, she sent out on February 1st, 2011, a violation letter to the owners, Thomas Kerr and Sean Shore, regarding the sewage pooling on the site and that a land feasibility study is required to determine what type of system can be installed to correctly, to correct the sewage violation. So then, exhibit number 13 is a letter that was sent out May 16, 2011, which is the site evaluation report for repair of the on-site wastewater treatment system. It was a land feasibility study that was done. Mr. Shore had applied for it. He had, you know, they had done the work, done the report, and so now we know what needs to be done on the site to correct the violation. And it says what type of system is required for the site based on the land and the natural soils of the site. And this report encompasses exhibits 13, which are 13A through F. And then we go down to exhibit number 14, which is a second notice of violation that was sent out to the owners, Thomas and Penny Kerr and Sean Shore, on August 10th, 2011. And this was sent from Ms. Mick. The letter is due to the lack of permit plan submittal to correct the failed system violation. And the letter gives 15 days to submit the permit application to the city for review. So between the time of when the land feasibility study had been sent and now, she had not yet received any type of plans to review to get the system corrected. And so we still have the failed system at this time. Exhibit number 15 is it is a copy of a letter that was sent out on August 24, 2011 to Sean Shore from actually the county, from Mr. Michael Grimmett of the county, who is a co-compliance specialist. And along with the failed on-site system that we have, there's also an enforcement case with the county, which we're not addressing here, but I just wanted to include it for reference. And what this county compliance case is about is there's a recreational vehicle park at the site, which is not allowed. And so this exhibit is a copy of a request from the county to the owners for removal of the RVs from the site. And while we don't have jurisdiction on the RV park issue, I've included it to show that if the owners go through the county process to legalize the RV park, then those vehicles in that RV park system would need to be included on a sanitary system. So the permit that the city would issue. So if those vehicles are gonna stay, then any type of permit that the city would issue for the septic system would have to include those vehicles, and it would have to be expanded. So it would not just be the rental properties that are there, that would the system would have to encompass. It also would have to encompass that RV park itself. So it would have to be an even larger system, or possibly two separate systems, however it would be made.
So just for clarification,
yes,
since it fits
please
here, the study that was done,
mm-hmm,
I believe it's in exhibit 13, did
yes
not take into consideration the RVs remaining on the property.
Correct.
Okay.
So then we're at exhibit number 16. Let me get to exhibit 16. So due to the lack of required permit issuance, the city posted a notice of possible code hearing at the site. And we did that to try and get a response for the owners to contact us to start getting moving forward again on the thing. And if we had not received anything at that time, we would have, you know, started the hearings process. And so we posted that on the site along with a copy of what's the hearings officer exhibit number 16A, which is the violation letter. And then on October 24th, 2011, exhibit 17 is a copy of the permit that was issued. So we do have an issued permit now for the system. It does not include what is there for the RVs. So this is just a system that has been, you know, submitted and approved by the city. And then the larger papers on that kind of fold out on this exhibit packet are just some of the portion of the plans that shows where the new system is going to be located and what's going to be done to the existing system. So you have that. Exhibit number 18 On December 5th, 2011, a third notice of violation was sent to the owners as the system described under the permit had not yet been installed. So the site is still operating under failed septic system. And then exhibit number 19 is an email that Ms. Meck received from Richard Wood, who said he was an accountant for Mr. Shore, and that it said that Mr. Shore did not have the money to move forward with the project at that time. And then exhibit 19A is an email from Mr. Shore to Aaron Mick, and it essentially states that he wishes to go to a hearing. And it also mentioned that he diverted his system to another working septic system, so he has no contamination on the property. Exhibit number 20 is another copy of a notice from the county to Mr. Shore regarding an order to comply regarding the continuation of the RV park on the site. Exhibit 21 are just photos of the site, general photos of the site taken by Ms. Mick on January 3rd, 2012. And that just kind of shows you from a ground level view as to what the site looks like. She didn't go on the property, she just drove by it in essence and took the photos. Exhibit number 22 is an email from a contractor who would be installing the permitted system, and it gives an estimation of the project materials and labor, and then also weather conditions at the site could impact the estimate. Obviously, if it's in summer, it's going to be a lot cheaper than if it's in winter, which is what we're at right now. Exhibit number 23 is a copy of the Multnomah County records showing what is permitted at the system for an on-site sewage disposal system. So it shows that there's just one septic tank and one drain field, and then it also gives the information regarding the seepage trenches and that type of thing. But this just shows what we have on record as being at the site.
And am I correct that the date on that is 1965?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And then exhibit number 24 is the mailing list for which the hearings officer mailed the complaint packet. Exhibit number 25 is a notice of hearing sent by the hearings office, and 26 is the notice of rights and procedures sent by the hearings office. And then exhibit number 27 is the, let me grab that, where did that go? Wait, hold on. Apologize. Okay, I lost my other exhibit packet. Okay, I'll just go off my notes. Okay, so exhibit number 27 is the notice of posting. So on January 17th, 2012, Aaron Mick posted the property for the hearings notice on either a unit's door, or in one instance, she actually gave it to an occupant at the site. And then number 28 are the photos that she took when she was posting the notices at the entrance, so it shows, you know, them hanging on the doors. And then on page 2 of the photos, it also shows a pipe that's coming from the main house, and it's resulting in a discharge of the gray water onto the ground. And then exhibit number 29 is a copy of a January 19th, 2012 letter sent to Mr. Shore from the county. And then per this letter, Mr. Shore had discussed with the county removing the RV rental sites and associated utilities. So hopefully in the near future, those items would not need to be addressed under permit, because they would be abandoned. And those are the exhibits that I have.
Okay, so there were only two on my list that I don't believe were addressed.
Okay, what did I miss?
They're likely not relevant, really. I have 6B, which is exhibit B. On your list, which is the personnel to be transferred by the intergovernment agreement. And then I did not hear six E, which was the vehicle 6E. List to be transferred.
Yeah, that's just as part of the actual ordinance itself. And so, you know, whenever I submitted it, it was my pack.
I don't think
we need that necessarily.
So there are.
But it is part of the ordinance.
29 exhibits total then, including the 13A, B, et cetera,
yes.
et cetera.
Yes.
Are you intending to offer all exhibits into
the record?
I would
like to offer all exhibits into the record at this time, yes, please.
Okay. Mr. Shore, I'll ask if you have any objection to the exhibits. In this forum, we don't have the objections that there might be in a regular criminal case or civil case to that, something of a more formal nature. The only objection that is entertained here is relevance. If there is something in these documents that you believe is strictly not relevant to your case, you can make that objection at this time, and I'd take it into consideration. Otherwise, as long as the documents are relevant, they'll be entered into the record. Do you have any objection to the exhibits 1 through 29 that Ms. Dybert has just gone over?
Well, I don't really have any objections on the deals, but basically we're just here because we have a failed septic system and we need to get it fixed.
Okay. So I will enter all 29 exhibits into the record. I think it sets out well the history of the case and really what the problem is that we're dealing with. So enter all 29 of those. Ms. Dybert, did you have other testimony you wanted to offer?
I do. I wish to ask Ms. Mick some questions since she was the one who's been to the site and sent out the letters.
Okay, before we do that, Mr. Shore, do you have any questions you'd like to direct to Ms. Dybert?
No, I don't.
Okay. Ms. Mick, before you testify, can I have you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Dybert.
Okay. Ms. Mick, can you please tell us the duties you perform for the City of Multnomah County and your technical background?
Yes, I am the on-site sanitarian for Multnomah County. I am a registered environmental health specialist, and that's with the state of Oregon. That allows me to evaluate the soils for proper siting of an on-site sanitation system. I also do all the plan review, inspections, and respond to on-site wastewater complaints for all of Multnomah County for every property that's not connected to a public sewer system. Yes, my technical background is being the registered environmental health specialist and the training and certification that involved.
Okay, can you please describe an on-site system and what constitutes a failure of the system? And you can use this one as an example if you'd like.
In general, on-site wastewater or septic systems, you have a sanitary sewer that leaves your building, it leaves your home, for example, or an apartment unit, and it goes to a septic tank. That's your primary settling, so your solids settle out, your greases float, and then the effluent water that leaves that tank through an outlet comes through a clear zone, we call it, and that effluent water then goes into a drain field. The drain field goes into your soils, and they can range from 50 feet to 150 lineal feet to thousands of lineal feet, depending on the site. And the depths are usually between 1 feet and 3 feet, depending again on the site and the age of the system. A failure is when any part of that actually stops working. By definition in the OARs, my OAR is 340, 71, 100 for the definitions. And a definition of a failure is, quote, it means any system that discharges untreated or incompletely treated sewage or septic tank effluent directly or indirectly onto the ground surface or into public waters, or that creates a public health hazard. So in this case, when I saw the ponding sewage at the site, that was a clear failure of being on the ground surface, and that also can create a public health hazard easily by when it rains, children, animals, just being in the area, anything of that nature.
Thank you. And then the last question I have for you is that the city received a complaint regarding the unsafe wastewater disposal. Can you please describe the violation that you found at the site and the needed remedies?
When any complaint is received, I listen for what kind of, you know, severity, what's the cause and the concern and the details provided. I then look up sanitation and plumbing records to see what we may know about it, any other permit history that we have, and the age of the home or the business. Septic code didn't start until 1974, so anything before that was really not under any guidance or any regulations on how to install these systems. So the older systems, we don't know what's there, we don't know how deep they are, how well they're functioning. So when I receive a complaint, I look up all those factors, and then I determine what the next steps are depending on those situations. When I first heard of this complaint, I wrote a letter because it is a commercial business, and I thought, well, someone would probably be aware of that, or if the owner's off-site, then they would go to the site and contact me and we'd work together. When I hadn't received any communication from that first letter, As that first letter also states, there was a possible housing concerns. So I was working with Multnomah County's code compliance for internal housing issues. And that inspector had gone to the site, and when he had gone, he reported back to me that he saw what looked very suspicious, like ponding sewage. So that's when I went out in February, and I went out and saw the pictures that you have, and I saw the ponding sewage, an oily sheen, a light smell. And that's when I wrote my second letter. So that then becomes the failure, and so I went on my next available day, and the only remedy for that in that failed system is that we then, because of the age of the home, we do not have a land feasibility study on record. And that land feasibility study is the test pit evaluation. So that's the very first step, is that you need to dig test pits so that I can evaluate the soils, so that I can then write the report that describes what kind of system is most suitable for that site. That is what the land feasibility study determines, and that's what Sean did do, and we got that accomplished in May. And that's, from there, that report describes that, and then you work on plan, design, and in this case, he needed a designer, so he got that, and that's, it can take a little bit of time because it's a pretty involved system.
Okay, so the questions I have for.
Okay. Mr. Shore, do you have any questions for Ms. Mick?
The only other thing I had was just to go over the remedies requested, which I don't know if you want me to do that now or if you'd like me to do that after Mr. Shore's testimony.
Let's wait until after Mr. Kay. Shore's testified. Mr. Shore, would you like to offer any testimony?
Yes, I would.
Okay, before you do so, can I have you raise your right hand, sir? Do you swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Shore, what did you want to tell me about the property and the issue that we're here on today?
Well, the first thing is I want to make clear to everybody that everything that is on this property is all existing. So we have a failed problem and we just need to take care of it. But ever since 2000 when I bought it, I've been having a lot of issues with say permits, this, that, and the other thing. And I've done a basic history, if you don't mind if I pass these out to everybody.
That's something you'd like to offer into the record?
Yes, I would.
And you have copies there for?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Feel free and pass one forward. My clerk will need to label it as an exhibit. We'll label it as one exhibit as a whole. I appreciate you making copies because that prevents us from having to go in and make copies since it looks lengthy.
Oh, yeah. No, I wanted it so that everybody see everything going on. As we know, we have absolutely no record of the property itself, and it's been very frustrating for me for the last 11 years owning this property, trying to get things taken care of. I have a lot of times where we go in and we're okay, and then 4 years later we're not okay again, and it just keeps repeating and repeating. One of the issues is on the RV sites. So what I've done here is I did major research trying to piece all this together. Now, what I've got is I've got 3 pages of the Florence Park history up to date, and then from that point on, as you read through the history, you can go back and see the different, like the permits, this, that, and just all the stuff that has happened to the property as best I could by piecing this in. It was a lot of work, but everything is kind of, you know, we don't really have to get into too much of it, but if we start at on number 32, where I received the first letter from Multnomah County saying I had RV units on the property and an automotive shop, and then I was not in compliance with the current zoning codes.
Just a moment, sir. I am not where you are. I don't believe.
It's the third page from the cover sheet. Or second page from once the printing starts.
I see, you're in the summary portion. Okay.
Yeah, and then number 32.
Okay, so page, for purposes of the record, it is, yes, page 3 of the file submitted by Mr. Shore.
Yes.
And you're referencing number 32.
32, yes. Okay. And so I explained that I bought the property, these RVs were there, also that I did not have an auto mechanic shop. This seemed to keep repeating. competing. And then it was just an advertisement that I had on there. The work was being done in Columbia County. They said that I can't do any of this stuff because it's forest land. The place has been there since 1928. It's only 6 acres. I have pictures in this showing some of the trees back in 1948, but by 1963, after the Columbus Day storm, there was no trees at all on the property except for old maples and stuff like that. So the forest land didn't really seem right. Then in May 14, 2001, I received another letter on the property that I was not in compliance, that I had RVs and an auto repair shop, again, on my land, but my land was forest. I explained to Don Keenholz that, one, I did not have an auto repair shop, it had been a motel since the 30s. And so we've been going through all this stuff all the way up until March 2000. Well, actually, back here, he informed me that if I can prove evidence proving the RVs had been there for 20 years, the folder would be put away. I asked him how I could prove it. He told me to find power bills, so I contacted PGE and talked to Kay Limbaugh, which is the representative of PGE. She said yes, she can write me a letter with PGE supplying the power to it for over 25 years. I received that letter and contacted Don and told him that I had the letter, and if he would come to the property, look at the dwellings to confirm that, yes, it was an old motel. I did not build them. So I gave him this letter looking at the dwellings, and he agreed I was in compliance, and I was under the impression that I was okay. In March 2005, I got a letter from Michael Grimmett stating that I had large numbers of boats, travel trailers, auto mechanics, stormwater contamination. I called Michael and told him there's only one boat there and it's owned by the renter. There's no auto mechanic shop. My property, and told him about the RV spots that Don and I had resolved back in 2001. Michael Grimmett told me he had no records, so I invited him out to the property. He saw this. I did not have any automotive shop. There was no stormwater contamination runoff. I gave him another copy of the PGE number. He looked at my septic systems and said, I don't see a problem here. And he said, I'll put you in the file and won't bother you again. And then 2009 came back, and I got a notice on December 17, 2009. I got a notice from Michael, and then I sent him a letter about that, and then I never heard a word back. And then in August 2011, I got a final request to remove the RVs from Michael again. Came out to the property telling me that I was in violation. And then I looked at him and replied that you told me back in 2005 that I was okay and you would put me in the files and not bother me about my RVs anymore. And he said, well, you got the income up to date. I was from the beginning never asked to do an unconditional use for the RV spaces until I got with Michael on December of 2011, and now I'm working with Kevin Cook to resolve that whole thing. So there's been all these little issues and everything. In the meantime, there's no records on the property. And if you look at the history of the property, it started in 1850, and the deed has it. It was a station, gas station for years, Shell Oil Company, but nobody has records of that. The tanks were removed in 76, but there's no records of that, and Shell Motor Company actually did all the work. And so there's all these records that we cannot find. So that's basically the history, gives everything here about the property. Is what I'm trying to do is bring it to eyes so that, you know, we can have some kind of documentation at the building department on the history of it and what's actually there.
A question for you, Mr. Shore. The remainder of the documents in the file that you submitted are historical records for the property, is that correct?
Yes, they're all historical records until you get back to, and then you come to the pictures, which I got aerial photos from the Army Corps of Engineers showing the places in 1948.
And this is towards the very back of the packet?
This is towards the back, yes. After all the, you know, letters and stuff like that. Then I have aerial photos from the Army Corps of Engineers in 1986 showing RVs. I have aerial photos of, from Army Corps of Engineers, 93 showing RVs. And then I have letters from different people that remember all the RVs. So I have, which are all noted, I have one. Two, three, four letters of four different people testifying that there'd been RVs as long as they can remember, all the way back to the 70s. Now, the last two pages is actually, goes to the septic system. And this is color prints because on the print that Aaron has, you really can't see anything. It's snow on the ground.
And which exhibit are you referring to, sir?
That was, I can't remember what it was. It was...
It'll be labeled in the bottom right-hand corner of each page. So there should be an exhibit number on it.
It's the one where it's the, shows the septic system, the very first, where the...
The very first photo?
Yep, yep, February 1st, right before that letter.
I've got a color printout, if that'll help you.
Exhibit 11.
It is exhibit 11?
I believe so.
Okay.
But yes, we have color, that's all color photos as well.
I believe you guys got color, right? Yeah.
Okay. So, and then this is the color photos here. This was during December of this year, and this was before I diverted the system. I believe last year we had so much rain that it really swamped that out, and that's why that got so bad. So this is what the contamination looks like once it dried out. And then I've got the last picture is showing how I diverted the, to another septic system, so we have absolutely no contamination on the property.
Okay, sir, the date of your last two pages?
December 2011, and that is the ground before diverting the system.
Okay.
And then the last page is like yesterday, and that's showing how I've diverted it to one of the existing septic tanks that are there. That was, used to be the septic tank for some of the old units. In the history, it will show you where, if you look at the pictures in 1948, that there was more units all over there, and then the Columbus Day storm took them out. Wasn't feasible to rebuild them, so they just removed them, and then they stuck RVs in there and turned it into the auto park and use the existing septic systems and the existing power and water for those. And so that's where they got that from.
Okay. Let me make sure that I'm understanding correctly. The system that you diverted into was a system that was pre-existing for use by a couple of buildings that are no longer there.
Exactly.
Okay. And?
Which were turned into RV sites.
Okay.
So they had been using the systems the whole entire time.
Okay, so the RV sites were using that system, and you have diverted the other units into that system
so that we have no contamination.
Okay, just so that I'm understanding. So this packet that you've submitted, sir, has been labeled as Exhibit 30. I expect that you want me to enter that into the record.
Please.
I'll ask Ms. Dybert if she has any objections.
I don't have any objections. My only comment on them is that it, you know, a lot of it just basically addresses the RV issue that he has with the county, so... But, yeah, no objections to it being entered.
Okay. Yeah, the whole history of the whole property. That was the...
Okay. And I agree there's a large portion of it that deals with the zoning that Multnomah County is dealing with, though, since it was raised in your case as well, and I think it is relevant to an overall picture of the property.
I don't have any objection.
We'll enter Exhibit 30 into the record as well. Mr. Shore, is there any other information you'd like to provide at this point?
No, I just like to try to come up with a solution to take care of this issue.
Okay. Ms. Dybert, did you have any questions for Mr. Shore?
My question for Mr. Shore is just basically, you've got rental units there, you've got a system that you've diverted into another system, which we don't necessarily know what it is, and from what we understand it's possibly undersized, most likely undersized. And then I just would ask what your intended plan at this moment is for the site in terms of getting it into compliance.
Basically, I'm just trying to create time. Now, last year, let me say this again, I had a major heart attack in February, and then I had to go in for more surgery on my heart in April. Then in June, I was in a major motorcycle accident. So as far as my health-wise, wasn't a very good year. With that said, I lost a lot of work. It was my worst year, and the climate of the economy out there isn't the best. So it's all about being able to get financing to be able to do this. I'm at the point now where I'm virtually at this point of almost bankruptcy on this place. I actually put the place up for sale a year ago to try to get the money to put the system in. But unfortunately, I had a couple people that were interested in it, but with the violations on it, they didn't want to buy it. Which was funny because I explained to them that the whole reason why I'm selling that, well, not the whole reason, but a majority of the reason is that I needed to get money to be able to put this system in, that if they purchased the property, they would have a complete, perfect, brand new system and everything would be all up in order. The other main reason is because of my heart attacks, and it's, you know, getting to the point trying to run a business and run all that, I'm looking to maybe download my life a little bit and kick back a little and try to calm myself down, because the stress is very bad with me, trying to come up with money for this, and that's bad for my health. So what I'm looking at is if I can buy some time so I can get back to work and focus on work, that way I can make the money to do the system, and that's my whole main goal.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
So I need just a moment to review my notes and make sure that I don't have any unanswered questions from my end. Although I did want to give Ms. Dybert the opportunity to discuss the remedies sought.
Do you want me to do that now, or do you want to review first?
Why don't you do that now?
Okay.
That may bring some of my questions up that I had.
Okay. Based on the continuation of the violation, the fact that we're not quite sure what exactly is going on at the site in terms of this diversion, and the fact that this is a rental property with tenants at the site, it's not. I understand Mr. Shore lives at the site, but it also is definitely a rental property with tenants. The city is requesting relief and remedies to get the violation corrected. So the first item I'm going to go over is on exhibit number one, the city's complaint, and it's item 3B, where the city's requesting cost recovery for inspections, time spent sending letters and preparing the hearing, and also the cost that the hearings office charges the city, charges BDS for the hearing. The hearing cost is $1,512, and then the inspection and other city staff time, at time of doing this, we've had more time since, but I'm not going to worry about that, is $550.32. And this is a property where typically, if it was within the city, we would have code enforcement penalties as a lien against the property. But since it's outside of the city, we don't have that as a way of cost recovery. So that's why I'm asking for that here. And then in order to correct the violation, there's several remedies that we're aware of. I don't know, Mr. Shore, he may be able to possibly come up with some others that would be, he could submit to the city, but this is what we see as corrections at this moment, which is item 3D, which is one, install the new system as issued under that permit. Then once the system is installed, we need to have inspections to make sure it's installed correctly and working properly. Then number two is he could install temporary holding tanks, which would be ones that he would use for the new system. So it wouldn't be like you would be buying holding tanks now and have to buy some later on. They would be holding tanks that he could use for the new system. And then he could install those, but then the tanks would need to be pumped on a regular schedule. And based on the occupancy at the site, that probably would mean pumping tanks every other day, possibly on an everyday basis. It just would depend on how much they fill up, because these would be a system where the sewage lines would be going into the tank and they would not be going out into a drain fill system. So they would just be basically filling up. It would need to be pumped on a regular basis. And then this is temporary in nature because it would, you know, be cost prohibitive after a certain point in time to do it. And so if he does decide to go this route, then we would request that the new system be installed by June 30th of this year. Or the other possible remedy would be to vacate and board up the site so that no occupancy is allowed at the site. And then if there's no occupancy, obviously the sewage system is not being used, and therefore there's no longer a violation because sewage is not surfacing or, you know, backing up anywhere. And then that's where this Exhibit 1A that we had comes into play, stating about the security board up as to what's required at the site. Then item 3E, the city is requesting that if one of the owner's options are not performed within 2 weeks, because the city feels that Mr. Shore has had quite a lot of time to deal with this issue since he's known about it since 2010?
November 2010.
Then the city is authorized to vacate and board up the property, and our board up would also include a security board up for the city standards to prevent reoccupancy. Item 3F, the city is requesting that if the property is vacated either by the owners of the property or by the city, then if unauthorized entry or removal of the board up occurs, then we could summarily board up and secure the property. So go back on there and just reboard it up to prevent the reoccupancy. Then item 3G, we are requesting cost recovery for a city perform vacate or board up, along with an additional site inspection visits cost recovery, since we don't have a way to do the monthly enforcement penalties. Item 3C, so going back to 3C, we're requesting a civil penalty of $100,000 to be suspended for 2 weeks. And this is to allow the owners time to correct the violations by one of the available options, or potentially if he can come up with another option that we can approve. And then this penalty is an incentive to correct the violation, because replacing the system would be less costly than the $100,000. So that's why we wanted to have a big enough incentive for this. And then item 3H, the city is requesting that the hearings officer retains jurisdiction of the case to ensure that the violations are corrected. Because if we don't have a new system installed, or if the temporary tanks are installed, then we want to make sure that everything gets done in a timely manner for that later, or that it stays vacant if needed. And I think I went over all of them. So for maybe A, which is just correction of the violations, we request that, which is a given. So that's all I have.
I did have one question, which I thought of was, I understand that Mr. Shore has diverted the septic system.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been out, Ms. Mick, to reevaluate that diversion?
No, I have not been asked or told about that until one email after the hearing was posted.
Okay.
That requires a permit and an authorization to do so by the state code. That would need to be performed, and judging by what he's told me is there, would probably not be able to approve it because of the size.
Okay.
But due to circumstances, I will look at it and consider everything I can. But it requires an authorization.
Okay. So it is something that you'd be able to go out and look at and determine whether it is a temporary fix similar to having the above ground holding tanks that would give Mr. Shore the time that he is requesting in order to get the problem permanently fixed.
Possibly.
Okay.
I say that only because it's a very big long shot that he has enough tank size and drain field length to make it possible, but I also haven't heard a timeline from him of when he's still planning on getting this done, so I would take that into consideration.
My thought was if the temporary fix is appropriate to get us to the June date that was already set with regard to the above ground tanks certainly have a cost involved with repeated pumping to keep them functioning if this was a temporary fix to get us to the June 30th date. Well, it might be a less expensive fix, but certainly something that you would need to evaluate and determine whether it is appropriate to get us to that date.
The possibility of failure is high due to the amount of flow, but I would absolutely consider that with permits and authorization.
Okay. And what would the first step be for Mr. Shore in that process?
To apply for the authorization and get the plumbing permits required.
Okay. And after the permits are required, you would then look at the system, or would you look at the system prior to the permits?
He would supply me with a plan to show me what, as if he hadn't done this, you know, what you're proposing to do.
Okay.
You would have to have the tank uncovered, pumped, need to inspect the inside. Then you would uncover the drain field, both the beginning and the ends of all lines, so that I can see where they are. Do they meet setbacks? Are they working? Is there any standing water? Is there any other issues, setbacks of that nature?
Okay. And this is a similar process, I assume, to what has already taken place with regard to the rest of the system.
Similar, but a little different, yes.
Okay. So that's some information for Mr. Shore, that you know maybe a way that we could come up with a temporary fix to get you the time that you're asking for. Sounds like it's not likely to be feasible, but it's an option, and certainly having more options is more helpful, or is helpful in a situation such as this where really money is comes down to the bottom line. So that was my one question. The other question I have, we have not really addressed at all, which is with regard to the ownership of the property. I understand that the Kerrs are not present. Can you tell me what the ownership status is for the property?
As well, I've been purchasing this from them for the last 11 years.
Okay, so is this a previous owner held mortgage?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a mortgage that has been recorded?
Oh, yes. Through title company.
Okay. Ms. Divert, with
yes.
regard to the ownership of the property, do you believe that Mr. Shore is solely responsible for this? Do you have a position as to who's the responsible party for the issues on the property?
Mr. Shore has been the one who's been in contact with Ms. Mick this whole time, and also with the county. The Kerrs I included on there because the way the Multnomah County tax assessor listed it, he listed their name and then contract purchaser Sean Shore, so I want to make sure, you know, they were aware of what's going on. You know, I didn't know if they had any possible interest in terms of responsibility or way to do it.
Okay.
You know, if it's a matter of, you know, if they don't have any interest in it, that I don't have an objection to them being removed.
Okay.
But
I ask because I know that they contacted our office indicating that they did not have an interest in the property. Looking at the OARs, I believe the indication from the OARs is that's correct, that the Kerrs do not have an interest or any role in this issue, but I wanted to make sure that everyone else was in agreement, and I do want to look at the OARs further and make sure that they don't have any position in this hearing, but I believe that they will be removed.
Okay. Yeah, my only thought would be that if by some chance they foreclosed on it or something of that nature, I didn't know, you know, then they would end up with the problem, but it
right. So, and I will look at it more closely. It was just an issue that since they had contacted the office, I wanted to make sure that we did address it and knew what everyone's position was with regard to ownership of the property. So, as I indicated at the start of the hearing, I don't have an answer today as to what the next step is for this property. I will take all of the testimony into consideration and look at the code and determine, excuse me, what the appropriate next steps are. When my order comes out, the order does not go into effect for 14 days. And then the requested time frame by the city is an additional 14 days prior to vacating and boarding up the property, should that be the order. So there's approximately a month's time between when the order comes out and when the property would need to be vacated if that is the order. So I just give you that by way of somewhat of a timeline. I expect to have the order out by the end of this month. Okay. Just one moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the ownership issue is clear. It's more my making sure, my clerk was asking about whether we need further ownership documentation. Mm-hmm. I believe the ownership issue, as far as the parties, is clear. I just simply want to look at the OARs and make sure in a situation where it's a privately held mortgage that that individual is not somehow still on the hook as an owner. I don't believe they are, but I'll look at that further. And I don't believe I need any further documentation with regard to ownership. So I intend to have the order out within the next month. My interim order at this point would be to get this problem remedied. Get it remedied by whatever means is appropriate and approved by the city. They've given a couple of options. We've discussed a further option here. So the order is, of course, to have it remedied so that when my order comes out, we don't have an issue any longer. If you're not able to get it remedied in that time period, of course, we'll look at what the next steps are based on my order and the decision I can make from the evidence that was submitted today. Anything further anyone wants to submit before I close the record?
Yes, I'd like to say a couple things about the system that's there right now.
Let me stop you for just a minute. I'm not going to be able to make a decision about that without the city taking their steps to make sure that that system is functioning properly and is an appropriate system. So I think the discussion about what's existing there needs to happen with Ms. Mick after the appropriate permits have been obtained.
If Mr. Shore decides to go that route and does submit for permits, and then could we then submit that as further evidence, which if your order hasn't come out, then you would be able to see that as well, or would the record be closed at that point?
The record will be closed at the end of today's hearing.
Okay. So we don't need to do that then, or should we? Just so you know, I'm just trying to make sure we are all on the same page here.
I don't. Let me check briefly as far as something that takes place just prior to my order coming out. So if I So if I leave it open until the end of, till 30 days, the order is then due, right? Okay. Sanitation, right. Okay. So I can leave the record open. It would depend on, I guess, the city's timeline and Mr. Shore's timeline to get that process gone. In motion, getting the permits and getting Ms. Mick out there to evaluate the system if you wanted to submit that as further information. If I left the record open for 30 days, I don't know if that's long enough. And essentially, as my clerk indicated, the sanitation concerns and safety and health concerns would remain until the record closes and then the additional time to get the order out.
So it would increase the time for the order then in terms of?
Yes.
So maybe we shouldn't do that then, in case the order, because I guess if that does end up being where he does get a permit, you know, in the meantime, if you close the record today, he gets a permit or is able to do that, then that would take care of the remedy. And if it doesn't, then we still would have your order that would be coming out.
Correct.
Okay. So we wouldn't have an extended timeline. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So there's no request then?
No.
From the city to leave the record open. Okay.
I have a question. Can I ask?
Sure.
So if Sean does go through with the authorization and he can get me something in writing about timelines and we can work something out in short order, I'm a little confused about how this decision on this hearing, how we get these timelines to actually occur and how we get this full resolution resolved. So if he can get something to me now until that June 30th deadline, you know, if there's something workable, I don't know yet, but if there is, how do we get those timelines enforced, and is that part of the hearing, or because that's not part of what's been presented in this exhibit or in this packet.
Right, because it's an additional option outside of what's been offered.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that I have a quick and clean answer for you.
Well, we might be able to do a signed stipulated agreement, possibly, and then that would maybe help in terms of taking care of it. you know, if we've got timelines that are signed by both the city and Mr. Shore, we could submit that as potentially a remedy for it. And then I guess we could see what your order is, if that would work as well.
Okay. Yeah. I think that my short answer at this point would be, if there is a resolution that is come to prior to the issuance of my order, or even, I guess, after my order, if there is some resolution that somehow nullifies my order, I guess, you'd need to submit that in writing, signed by all the parties.
Yes.
And that'll be taken into consideration. Certainly once the order comes out, that's the order that needs to be followed through with. I'm wondering if the two kind of pass in the night as far as the resolution you're working on and my order coming out, that would be the only situation that might be questionable as to where we go. The end result needs to be that this problem is resolved. So if there
permanently.
Is permanently resolved, yes. So at this point, I will close this record. I will proceed with the information that I have. That certainly doesn't mean stop working on resolving the problem. And I guess that would be my end point to drive home, is resolve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if something else arises, we will deal with that. From the information I have from Ms. Mick, it doesn't sound like there's going to be another route that's workable. And because of the safety concerns and health concerns, I think we need to proceed forward with the information as it was presented.
Okay.
Okay. Further questions?
I just didn't understand any of that.
We are proceeding forward as with the information that was presented at the hearing and the options that were presented by Ms. Dybert as far as how to resolve this issue.
As far as putting in the new system.
Correct. Putting in a new system, putting in above ground temporary holding tanks, or vacating the property. Those are the requested means of resolving this issue.
Okay, now, well, let me ask you this. Only three of those buildings are on that particular drain field. I have two other buildings that are on a perfectly fine septic system, and my house is on a perfectly fine septic system. So are we referring to those three buildings only? Or
we're referring to all the buildings on the property.
Why would that be?
Because we don't know about the other size of the tanks. We don't know about the other drain fields. We don't know if they're adequately sized.
Can we bring in a third party and have them look at them, do dye tests?
That would be possibly a remedy.
Because that was what I asked for back last February, so that we could make sure, because, you know, again, there's no records on here. I feel that I'm being penalized for something that somebody else has done. I've just bought the property. I feel that they work absolutely fine. Of course, I'm not an expert, but I feel that if we bring somebody in and have them do dye tests on the two houses that have an existing drain field that works fine, my house and the other two tanks that I'm using to divert the contamination at this point, you know, so we can see if we actually have any seepage or anything. I think that would be a great, smart move to do. Where I'm going with this is if we keep adding more costs, that just means the job doesn't get done, because I'm, you know, I have to live too, and I have my bills to pay, and I have to get the work, I have to sell the job, I have to do all the work, I do everything myself. I'm not married, I don't have any family, so it's just all on me. And to kick me out of my own home for a perfectly working system, or losing income coming off the property when they're on a perfect working system, I think is kind of
wrong. You can, as we discussed, if you know, get the permits, you know, do the feasibility studies and that type of thing to see about those other systems that are there, to make sure that they're sized correctly in the correct place and working. And we could discuss about, you know, that. Yeah.
I I think that, and like, as I indicated, I'm stepping in last minute on this case, so forgive me for my confusion as I'm explaining things. I think what is appropriate is, as I indicated, to proceed forward with the remedies that were suggested. There is a means, as I noted at the beginning, to appeal the decision or simply to ask, appeal a decision to Multnomah County or to ask for reconsideration. In the event that my order comes out while something is in place that appears that it will be remedied prior to the effective date of my order, there can be a request made to reconsider the findings. And the request for reconsideration can come from the city or it could come from yourself. And I could modify the order if an appropriate remedy was found outside of what has been asked for at this time. And hopefully that makes things a little bit more clear. If there is a good and sufficient reason to reconsider my order, I can do that. So does that clarify where we should go at this point?
Yeah, I mean, okay. You've got me at the stage now that, you know, say for instance, I can't come up with the money to do this. You won't approve me using that temporary system until we can actually get the working system in. You close everything down. It's just a bankruptcy. As simple as that. There's just no way of being able to do that. So, you know, if I don't have a home to live in, if I'm not getting the income off of two houses that are have a fine system, it just totally, property goes up for bankruptcy. Simple as that.
And I think, as Ms. Dibert put it, there's a big incentive for you to really get on top of this and work out a remedy and work out on how to get this problem resolved.
And that's why I've asked for the hearing.
Well, now we know that there is at least approximately a month's window that this really needs to be resolved by some means, or else my order will take care of that. Okay? Any other questions?
No.
All right. We will close this hearing. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.